All right, how you guys doing tonight? Well, my name is Nick, for those of you that don't know me, and I'm excited to be here. Although, here's the deal, I miss Kevin. I've all of a sudden, now it's just Nate, my assistant, and he's like almost as tall as Kevin, so sometimes I look at Nate and I think, Kevin, I miss you. But he'll be back, what, this weekend? Kevin will be back? Friday. Good. Okay. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. And when you're there, say, yeah. You're not even there, dude. You don't even have a Bible. Do you guys have Bibles? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible. I'm sure you guys have. Wow. We have a lot of needs for Bibles tonight. No, you can't just go, yeah. You go, yeah. There it is. Nice. Yeah. What's up, dude? Yes. Romans chapter 12. Doce, if you speak Spanish. How do you say 12 in French? Oui, oui? I don't think that's 12, dude. There, way in there in the back. You, yes. Do you know? Oh, you're raising your hand for Bible. Sorry. Nobody knows how to say 12 in French? I already said it in Spanish. All right, Romans chapter 12. Everyone's got Bibles. Let's pray for Kevin and the team and pray that God bless our study. God, we come to you tonight with hearts that are just full of passion and love for you, God. And Lord, we desire now as we have our Bibles on our laps, our hearts are attentive, our minds are ready, we would ask God, would you completely, radically transform us? God, for some, this issue that we're going to talk about is very relevant. For some, Lord, it might be just information, but they've yet really to experience a lot of these things. But God, no matter what, it's your word. And we can always learn lessons from your word, even if it's in preparation for our futures. And so God, we ask that you'd instruct us, that you would teach us tonight. In your name we pray, amen. You all have cooties. And they, listen, here's what I mean. You're full of germs. In fact, according to surveys, you have, especially guys, more germs than girls. So let's just say that guys are dirtier than girls. Because listen, in a recent survey, 74% of women wash their hands after they go to the bathroom, compared to only 61% of guys. Listen, it goes on. They did a survey. They found that 9 in 10 people say that they wash their hands after they go to the bathroom. But they actually monitored people going in and out of a bathroom, and this is what they found. That actually only 6 out of every 10 people, that's about 68% or 60%, were observed doing so. So half of the people in our nation, when they go to the bathroom, when they come out, they don't wash their hands. But this is what that means. Did you know that the average toilet seat has 49 germs on it? Listen, after having used the restroom, they say that one of your hands can have a population count of over 200 million germs per square inch. They say that, listen, they say the phone, 25,000 germs per square inch. Your desk at school, 20,000 germs per square inch. So tell your parents, I'm not going to school next year. It's too gross. The keyboard on your computer, about 3,000 germs per square inch. The mouse that you use for your computer, 1,600 germs per square inch. A fax machine, 301 germs per square inch. And listen, when somebody sneezes, they're spraying germs at the speed of about 200 miles per hour, landing at a distance up to 3 feet. And those germs can last on your body for 24 hours. In fact, they say at home, one of the dirtiest places is the kitchen sink, and it harbors more germs than even the bathroom. And so now this is what you're all doing. You're gross. The person sitting to my right, my left, I'm not touching them. You're all dirty people. In fact, I'm starting to feel scratchy, and I'm starting to breathe heavy, and I feel like I need to go take a shower. Listen, you're going to have to bear with the germs. You're covered in it. Our world is filled with germs. We are all infested with germs. But here's the point. In the exact same manner that germs are bombarding our bodies, I believe our world is bombarding your mind, your heart, with non-biblical perspectives on sex. The world is constantly flashing images and ideas of what sex is, but reality is when we look at the Bible, it's the exact opposite. And people, young people, even Christians are dirty, germ-filled, infested with the world's perspective of sex and dating and relationships. And so we have to ask ourselves simply, do I have God's view on sex? And I'm stoked that you guys in your momentum groups, is that what you call them, right? You guys are going to be talking about sex and what the Bible has to say about sex. Did you know that 64% of every TV show you watch contains sexual content? They say that when you go to the movies, it's almost a 90% chance that you're going to see some type of sexual material. The average American young person will view 14,000 sexual references in a year on TV, most of which don't align up with Scripture out of marriage. Sexual content is featured once every 4 minutes on network TV. So every 4 minutes you're watching TV, you're almost guaranteed you're going to see some type of innuendo image that's containing sexual ideas. And they say teenagers who watch lots of television with sexual content are twice as likely to engage in intercourse than those who watch fewer amounts of TV. It's on billboards. It's in our music. Sex, sex, sex. And yet so often, it doesn't line up with what God says about. You know, God created sex. It's a good thing when it's done God's way. And what I tell you today, probably most of your thinking and thoughts about sex are not biblical. Because the world is bombarding us with non-biblical perspectives. So you say, Nick, how is it being filled in a polluted world, how is it that we can stay pure? How is it that I can stay away from falling into Satan's traps and breaking God's word and messing up my life when it comes to my purity? Listen, you might want to jot it down. If you've got a pen and a piece of paper, it's Psalms chapter 119, verse 9 that says, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can we keep pure? How can we make sure that we stay clean in this world? By taking heed according to your word. This book right here, you might have heard it said, this book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book. How can I stay pure when I'm being bombarded sexual images, immorality constantly? My friends, my music, my iPod, and all the jams I'm listening to. Listen, we have got to go to God's word and his perspective and plan for our sexuality, and then not only see it, but then submit to it. And let me just say this. The world today thinks that God's a killjoy. God, you're such a bummer. All my other friends get to go hang out with their friends and dating, and they're messing around sexually. God, why do you say that I shouldn't? Well, tonight we'll see why. There's four things, if you're taking note, that I want you to remember that what God says and how it is that you can stay pure when it's concerning sexuality in this world. Well, I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter 12. The first thing you and I need to keep at the forefront of our mind and look to God's word is that we find that we need to rethink purity. We need to rethink sexuality in our world. It's Romans chapter 12, and it's verses 1 and 2. Would you read with me? Paul says, I beseech you, or I plead, or I beg with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Did you catch that? Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, there's three things to note about that verse. The Bible says we need to rethink our thoughts in comparison to what the world would tell us. It says, don't be conformed to this world. The word conformed, you might want to write next to it, model. What the Bible is telling us, don't be and model yourself like the world. When the world says have sex before marriage, when the world says have sex with your boyfriend and girlfriend, even though you don't have a ring and you're not married, you have to say, I'm not going to be conformed to the world's thoughts. But he says, be transformed or radically changed and renew your mind. Literally, rethink. You need to have a renovation. It could be said like this. Stop being molded by the external and fleeting fashions of this age, but undergo a deep inner change of the mind. So what I believe as Christians today, what we need to do is we need to understand, yes, the world has its perspective, but my mind needs to think differently than what the world says. And here's four things that I think we need to have different perspectives on. See, the first thing is the world says it's okay to have sex before marriage. It's okay. That's wrong thinking. In fact, everyone is doing it. Would you agree? I hope you have friends or even at school. I'm sure you've seen it. Everyone thinks it's okay to mess around with their boyfriend and girlfriend. The TV tells us it's okay. Our music tells us. In fact, did you know the average age of someone having sex in our country is 16 years old? Well, most of you aren't 16 in this room. But that would mean pretty soon most of you will have sex according to statistics. And they say 70% of young people living in America will have had sexual intercourse before they graduate high school. That's amazing. But listen, the statistic goes on. 30% of Christians, of young Christians, will also have had sex by the time they're finished with high school. 30%. That's almost half of the Christians. That would mean in this room, within the next couple of years, we have one, two, three sections. A whole section of us will have already committed sexual immorality. That's the day and age that we live. Because we think it's actually okay. Guys, you need to rethink. It is not okay. The second thing you need to rethink is not only that it's okay, but that God doesn't care and that God thinks it's okay. Listen to what God has to say about sexual immorality in the Bible. Ephesians 5:5, if you're jotting down notes tonight. Paul says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What does the Bible say? People that are fornicating or having sex outside of marriage are not going to heaven. Don't be fooled. That's what the Bible teaches us. God doesn't say it's okay. God doesn't say it's right. God doesn't just say, hey, everyone's doing it. God says you don't go to heaven. God says people that participate in this type of activity before they are married, no. That's not a true Christian believer, a person that gives themselves over to sexual immorality. Now, I went to England this past summer. And how many of you have ever seen a cigarette box, right? You've seen cigarette boxes. How many of you have actually read the side of a cigarette box? Does anyone know what it says? It says, Surgeon General says smoking leads to cancer. Well, let me translate that for you. Smoking, the Surgeon General, the United States of America, puts warning on cigarette boxes, says, it's going to kill you. We can't cure cancer. You'll die if you keep smoking cigarettes. So every time you see cigarettes, you should think, death, it's going to kill you. Now, I went to England last summer, and I'm not kidding you. It's not just a little warning on the side. In big, bold, circle red with a cross through it and a cigarette on the whole front, you can't even tell what brand they are, it says, cigarettes kill. And you see people everywhere. Oh, yeah. You're idiots. The people that know about our bodies and health say, you're killing yourself. And yet we go, oh. But listen, so many people are doing it with sex. God says it kills you. You're going to ruin your life, destroy yourself. But we go, it's all good. I can get away with it. Two things. It's okay. God doesn't care. Third thing, people think today, and we need to rethink, because the world says that there's no consequence to sin. Oh, I can have sex. Oh, I can mess around my boyfriend. We can kiss. We can hold hands. It's all right. God ain't going to. I know he says don't do it, but come on. Is he going to strike me dead with a lightning bolt? But listen, you know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, if you're taking notes, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. God says you mess around with sin, you will reap the consequences. Maybe this story will illustrate it. Recently in the news, we're told that a cleaner, a maid at a house, stole what she thought was a large candle from the condominium that she cleaned. Later, while at a restaurant with friends, she lit the candle that she had stolen. However, the candle was in fact a huge firecracker, and the woman was severely injured. She sued the condominium owners for not putting a warning on the firecracker. The condo owners say they had put the huge firecracker in a cupboard out of the reach of children after it had been left at their house at a party. What? Gosh, we have some silly people in this world. Woman cleaning a house, she steals a big candle. Hey, guys, check it out. She's at dinner. And she sued them. I stole a candle from your house, but you didn't put a warning on it, and it hurt me. Well, no. See, you stole. You sinned. Bible says if you sin, you're going to reap punishment for your sin. In a very real way, you play with sexual sin, you're playing with fire. You will reap the consequences. Can I tell you guys just really quick? A couple weeks ago, I met with a young girl. I think 14, maybe 15. Weeping, crying in my office. What had happened? She disobeyed God's word. She had sex with her boyfriend. Oh, we loved each other. But she's weeping. She's heartbroken. She feels like she can't live anymore. She doesn't even want to live. She doesn't know what to do with her life. She's miserable. And she doesn't know why. I said, I know why. You disobeyed God. And God tells us not to do it because he knows if we do it, man, we're in for some serious trouble. Well, what's the last thing we need to rethink in our minds about this topic? Listen, Bible says don't be conformed to the world. The world will tell you, play with it. And so many Christians even say, how far is too far? Right? I've had so many high schoolers say, well, can we, you know, hold hands? Can I do the thing, right? Can we talk on the phone at 4 in the morning? Can we hang out? Can we kiss? I don't mean like, you know, just the mwah, just like that on the cheek, right? And then it's like the cheek, and then it's like the edge of the lips. And how far is too far? How far can I go? Guys, that's the wrong way to think. You shouldn't think how far can I go. You should think how far can I go away from anything that has anything to do with that. You know what the Bible says? Listen, guys, if you're a man in this room, or young man, okay, you know what the Bible says? This is how you're to treat girls, even girls you think are really cute, okay? This is what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2, jot it down. Paul writing to Timothy, a teenager, old women, Timothy, treat as your mother. So women older than you, treat as your mother. Treat all younger women as your sister with all purity. Okay, so here it is, guys. Next time you're feeling like super smooth, cute girl, she likes you, you're sitting next to each other, and your Bible's, I've done this, I did this in mid-high school, right? Your Bible's like here, and both your hands are like here, and all of a sudden you're like touching fingers, right? And you're thinking, oh, this is cool, right? All right, your heart's going, boom, 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 sweaty palms, sweat. Is it getting hot in here? Is it me? Oh, we're touching hands, right? She's your sister. Would you be doing that with your sister? Okay. Hey, sister. Oh, my heart's beating fast. My palms are sweating. We're touching fingers. That's gross, right? Oh, that's disgusting. Or, oh, hey, sister. Right? What? Hey, sister. No. I'll throw you in jail. That's disgusting. And Paul says that's how guys, girls, that's our interaction. Until you are married and you have a ring on your finger and you've committed your life, all girls-guy relationships as Christians, I won't do anything to her or to him that I wouldn't do to my brother or sister. That's the rule. Not how far can I go. So I ask you tonight, have you been renewed? Have you rethought sexual purity in this polluted world? Are you allowing the world to tell you how to think about sexuality? Second thing, second word, confess. Not only do we need to rethink sexual sin, but we need to confess sexual sin. Turn with me now to 1 John chapter 1. Quickly, 1 John chapter 1. Now, I do realize these first two points aren't as much practical advice. But what they are true biblical principles that don't necessarily relate just to sexual sin in context, but it's dealing with the Christian that's living in a world that is polluted and constantly trying to contaminate your thought and thinking about sin in our world. And one of the biggest sins I think young people can struggle with is that of sex before marriage. So not only do we need to have a thought process that is biblical, not thinking how far is too far, or God doesn't care, or that there's no consequence to it, or hey, it's okay, everyone's doing it. But we need to confess when we do make mistakes. Verse 9, 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, confess, you might want to write next to it, it means to admit. The Bible says if you admit your sin, then God is faithful and just to forgive your sin and listen, to cleanse you, to make you pure. And so for many people today, right now, before we go any further, before God can really transform your thought processes, before we can even talk about practical steps to being pure in this world, some of us might have to just pray and ask God, God, forgive me. Well, God, I want to be pure. Nick, I want you to tell me and teach me about how the Bible says I can be pure. But before sometimes we can even do that, you must first say, God, I have not been thinking right about sex. I've been toying with it. I've been messing around with that boy. I've been messing around with that girl. I've been looking at stupid stuff on the TV or on the internet. I've been talking late at night with a guy, girl, and talking about dating and all of these things. And I'm not even married. I'm not in a position to be married. And you've had impure thought processes. Girls, when you're at school, you see boys and you go, that's normal. But girls, when you go, oh, he's so cute. And those biceps. Oh. And that six pack. Girls can't say that about me anymore. I have no six pack. That's a good thing. But listen, that's lusting. Guys, dude, check out that girl. Oh, yeah. And I see it. I went to the mall the other day with my wife. There's like groups of little teenager girls everywhere in the corners going, just looking at the guys. Oh, he's looking at me. Right? And dude, he's so cute. Right? And then you see all the guys, and the guys are like this. All cool. Right? And they're like, hey, baby. I'm like, you're 10. You can't say baby yet. You're still a baby. And we're looking, we're lusting. And listen, if that's you, if you haven't been honoring God with your thoughts and your actions and your mouth and the way you act when it comes to purity, first thing you need to do is just ask God to forgive you. And the Bible says he will then purify you. And before you can continue in this world being a pure person, you first have to ask God, God, purify my mind first. Before God can even empower you to be pure, you have to ask God to forgive you for your impurity. How many times have you said, God, oh, I want to change, and I'm going to do the right thing, and you go into this world, and you keep falling and sinning, but you never actually come to God and say, God, forgive me for being a sinner. Isn't that how you get saved? You can't all of a sudden one day change and just say, now I'm going to be a good guy, and God's going to accept me. No, you have to first come on your knees before God and say, God, forgive me, a sinner, and then God saves you, and then he'll begin to transform you. And listen, I suggest to so many of you today, purity's the same way. If you've been messing around, bad thoughts, you haven't been thinking according to Scripture, first thing you need to do right now here tonight, as you say, God, forgive me. Would you make me pure? So now as we continue and we learn practical steps on how to stay pure, well, God can first purify you and give you a pure mind. How many of you know what hand sanitizer is? Most of you, right? It's cool. We are today out in the Hemis Mountains with the Africa missions team. We leave on Tuesday. And man, I got dirt all over my hands from picking up logs and cooking burgers with my hands and cheese. My hands are all dirty and nasty. And it was amazing, right? Just a couple squirts like this. Boom, clean. In fact, 99.9 of those germs on my hands are gone. Listen, with God, God says, listen, if you'll come tonight and just ask me, I'll purify you 100%. Psalm 66:18 says that if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayer. That means if I think that in my heart and I just allow sin and I don't admit that it's wrong, God won't even hear your prayer that God help me be pure. He won't even hear it until you first say, God, forgive it. Forgive my wrong thinking. Forgive my thought process. Guys, tonight, let's get it all out on the table. Let's get right with God and say, God, forgive me. I recently read a story. A woman on an airplane was passing gas. You've done it. Be quiet. I know you've done it. Okay? And in order to cover up the stench and stink, she lit matches on an airplane. Okay? Listen, the woman's actions resulted in an emergency landing in Nashville of an American Airlines flight that was bound for Dallas from Washington, D.C. Of course, she was scared and embarrassed, but all the passengers had to get off the plane. All the luggage had to be searched. A team of dogs was brought in. And after 3 hours that was consumed to sorting out the situation, they discovered it was simply a woman that had passed gas and was covering it with fire. Here's the point. If tonight you try to cover your sin, oh, I just, you know, little sin. But if you're the person that's covering it and covering it, it's going to bring down the plane, man. And the place to start is to say, hey, God, I've blown it. Let's do that right now before we even continue. If that's you tonight and you say, you know what, Nick? I need to ask God. I need to ask God to forgive me for being impure in my thoughts and my actions. Let's just do it right now. I'm just going to be quiet for one whole minute. And you just deal and do business with God. Say, God, forgive me. God, we do ask, forgive us for the times that we're impure. In your name we pray. Amen. Third word. First word, rethink sin, sexual sin. Second word was confess. The third word to remember tonight concerning this area, this topic, is that we must flee sexual sin. It's the word flee. I'm not talking about a little bug, okay? The first two are more scriptural, general. These two next points are very practical. You say, Nick, maybe I've fallen in the past. Maybe I have had bad thoughts about sexual immorality and purity. But tonight I've confessed it. Now, Nick, how can I stay pure when the world is seeking to pollute my life? First thing, listen, you've got to learn to flee. You have got to learn to flee sexual sin. Turn with me now, a couple books to the left in the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When you get there, say, yeah. Are you really there? No, I didn't think so. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're looking at verse 18. It can't get any more clear than this, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul says, flee sexual immorality. Let's read it again. You all there? All eyes on Scripture. What does God's word have to tell me today so I can make sure I don't get all germ infested? Verse 18, read it with me. It's three words. Here we go. Flee sexual immorality. What does the word flee mean? Run away. It's simple. Run away from what? Sexual immorality. Do you guys know what immorality even means? No? Okay. Flee sexual immorality. In another translation, it says flee fornication. Simply put, sexual immorality, the word fornication simply means, well, actually, let me give you the Greek word. You guys are smart. You're intelligent. It's the word porneia. Sound like a word you've heard before? Yeah. It basically means any type of sexual activity that doesn't line up with God's word. It basically means having sex before you're married. And any type of illicit, unbiblical, improper sexual activity, Bible says, Paul wrote, flee, get out of there, run away from it. Now, we just had the freshman pool party. So the eighth graders that were hanging out with you guys all the time have recently just come up into vertical. So what we do is usually celebrate, we commemorate that time, and we get together, and we go to the childless house, and we have a pool party. Well, this is a very unique pool party for me, and here's why. They wanted to throw me in. All of those new freshmen wanted to throw me in the pool, but I'm not in pool attire. I'm just dressed in my normal clothes. I've got cell phone, wallet, and even Edwin Chavez. They grab me. I'm 5 feet away from the pool. I don't want to go in the pool. It's cloudy. It's cold. I don't want to go in. But they're grabbing me, and I'm fighting it. No, my cell phone, my wallet. And I finally, I'm getting violent, angry. I kick out of it, and I run outside in the front of the house, right? And there's Gabe. You guys know Gabe, right? Gabe Chavez, right? He's in Mexico. And he's there with his bike. He's like, Nick, I got you a bike. Yes, I get on the bike. I'm not kidding. There's like 10, 15 kids from vertical chasing me out to the front. I'm on the bike. Whoo, I'm pedaling. I pedaled like 3 miles away from the house. And the whole night, more than the pool party, hanging out, you know what it turned into? Them chasing me. I almost died that night. Can I just tell you? I had a couple of vertical students trying to tackle me, grab my legs. I'm on the bike. I'm falling. I scraped up my legs. Oh, I'm running out of there. I didn't want to go in the pool. Listen, the Bible says anytime you see it, you smell it, you sense it, anything that doesn't line up with God sexually, get out. Not, oh, that's kind of cool. Not, I won't say anything, but I'll just kind of hang out. Not, I'll close my one eye, or I'll close two eyes. Or I'll just plug my ears and close my eyes. No. Run for your life. Because that's what's at stake. Listen, guys. That's what the Bible says is at stake. You need to. When you're bombarded with sexual immorality, when it's on the TV, turn it off. When the girl's coming up to you and being all cutesy, get away. Don't laugh. I'm being serious. Get away. Girls, and that guy's coming up, he's like dragging his leg, right? He's all cool, right? Get, run! And all of a sudden his eyes got twinkles in them and his lips are puckering. Slap him and run. I give you permission, okay? You can slap him. Do you guys remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis? Remember Joseph? There he is. He's in his master's house. He's just kind of a servant there. And all of a sudden his master's wife starts hitting on him. Hey, Joseph, you've got big biceps, Joseph. You're so muscular, right? And she says, sleep with me. Nobody's in the house. It's just us, she says. And what does Joseph say? Well, here's the thing. Let's kind of talk and have coffee and kind of talk about why this wouldn't be. No, he ran. And he ran and hightailed it so fast out of there that she was able to derobe him. He didn't even fight for his clothes. She had hold of his clothes. She was, come on, do it. She's grabbing onto him. And he gets out of there so fast that he barely has anything left on his body. He ran. Guys, this is serious. Stop it. Run away. You know, our society today, I just recently read New York Times, one of the most biggest selling newspapers in the world, their online website, you know what the number one word that is searched? I'll give you a hint. It has three letters. Wow. It's not God. It's sex. People are searching and seeking for sex. You know, 19 million dirty magazines are sold a week. That's a lot. Here's the point, guys. I don't want to get too graphic here, but here's the point. People, we're not fleeing it, guys. When you're falling into it, it's not because you're fleeing, it's chasing you. It's too often because we're actually chasing it. We're actually pursuing it. And it would be comparable to me being on a diet and saying I'm not eating any candy and walking into the mall and going to the candy store and just standing outside looking at all the candy. I can't eat it. It's going to make me really fat. I'm on a diet. But it looks so good. But I'm not going to do it. Okay. Breathe, Nick. You know what? I'm just going to go smell it. And I walk into the store. Oh, candy. So sugary and sour all at the same time. Okay, but I'm not going to do it because I'm going to diet and it's going to kill me. Okay, I'm going to touch it. Oh, look at that candy. You little Sour Patch Kid, right? Yeah, come on. You're gonna eat the candy. You know, it's like Lay's. No one can just eat one, right? And that's what sin is. And that's what so many of us do. We're standing outside the candy store saying, I'm not going to eat candy. Impossible. It's a very practical advice from God's word. Is run away from it. Turn off the TV. Run out of the movie. Get out. You know how many movies I've had to leave with my wife? We're sitting there and it's just dirty and we just get up and leave. Last word, and we'll close here. The last thing. There's two things that I think primarily Scripture says. How is it that you can stay pure, guys? Not only running away from it, rethinking it, confessing it, but eliminate it. Eliminate sexual sin. Now quickly, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Again, the first gospel, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. This is Jesus talking. This is what Jesus had to say about sexual immorality, fornication, having sex before marriage, messing around with it in any way, shape, or form. This is what Jesus says for you, Christian, tonight. He's talking to his disciples. These aren't unbelievers. He's talking to Christians here, okay? It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. You guys there? I'm hearing pages. I'll give you just a second. It's a very important piece of scripture. If you have a highlighter, you're going to want to highlight this verse. If you have a pen, you're going to want to circle it. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. If your right eye... Now, Jesus is very... Actually, let's go back to verse 27 so you know he's talking about sexual sin. He says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now here, really quick, I have to explain this. Jesus is talking about primarily adultery, which means if you're married, having sex outside of marriage, being married. But it's not only referring to that. I think it goes even further because Jesus says that I say to you again, verse 28, that whoever looks at a woman to lust, he doesn't say a married woman, but he says just a woman. So I think the implication goes way beyond just being married and having sex outside of your marriage. So it's sexual immorality. Verse 29, Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin... What's it say? Pluck it out. Cast it from you. You stupid eye. Ugh. Right? Okay. Let's keep reading. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So right eye. And if your right hand causes you to sin, chop it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. So Jesus says, if in sexual sin... You're looking at girls, you're looking at guys, you're messing around, you're playing around with it with your hands. Jesus said it'd be better for you to literally pluck out, this is what Jesus is literally saying, it'd be better for you to pluck out your eye and throw it on the ground, chop off your arm, pick it up with your left arm, and throw it away from you, than for you to allow your body and your members to participate in this kind of sexual immorality. Now, as literal as Jesus is speaking this, it's not to be applied so literally. That's not, guys and girls, we've all, at one point or another, I'm sure, looked at another guy or girl. Bible says that's lusting after, oh, she's so pretty. She has such a nice figure. Or girls, he's got such nice biceps. That's lusting. And Jesus says, if you've done that once, what's he saying? Cut it off. So all of us would be without eyes and without arms. You know, we'd be walking around one arm, hey, hey, right? And one eye, hey, right? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. You have to understand, to the Jewish people that Jesus is speaking to, the right hand, the right eye were the most important. For many of us, it's true. Our right hand is the most valuable instrument on our body. We use it in so many capacities. And so when Jesus is saying this, what he is saying is, listen, guys, you have to listen. If your right hand, if whatever in your life, no matter how important it is to you, is causing you to mess up in your sexual purity in a polluted world, you need to not only flee from it, but get rid of it. Throw it away. And I'm talking about physical things. I could be talking about your computer, your TV. You might have to go to your parents tonight and say, Mom and Dad, I don't want a TV in my bedroom. I don't want access to the TV downstairs. I don't want a cell phone because I'm messing around with guys talking and I'm hooking up. It might be that you need to go break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend tonight if that boyfriend or girlfriend is causing you to stumble. What Jesus is saying, no matter how valuable it is, you have to chop it out of your life. That sin is, or sex is a serious sin outside of marriage, and it needs some serious surgery if you're struggling with it. No matter how valuable. You know the kids' song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And Jesus is saying, I don't care how valuable that boyfriend, girlfriend, that TV, that computer, that popularity. Well, I got to have a boyfriend because then I'm cool. Yeah, but you're struggling. You're kissing. You're touching hands. You're messing around. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, as we close, that can a man scoop fire onto his lap? Look at how vivid this is. Can you take fire, scooping fire onto your lap without his clothes being burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? You know these sandals I'm wearing right now? Maybe after you can come see this. We were in California just about a week and a half ago. We were at surf camp. And we had a pit with fire every night. Throw some wood in there, light it on fire. And I would, like an idiot, right, take my chair and rest my feet on the edge of the pit. Now, not in the pit, just on the edge of the pit. I'm not going to just purposely kill myself, but I'll get close. And it burned, brand new flip-flops. I bought them that day. It burned right here, about a quarter of an inch of my flip-flop away. And somebody goes, does anyone smell burnt rubber? And I'm like, yeah, I smell that. What is that? My foot. And listen, what the Bible is saying is not getting close to it, but imagine taking a shovel of it and throwing it on your lap. And the Bible is saying, is that going to burn? How many of you guys think that's going to burn? Right? Right? It's going to burn. And this is what the Bible is saying. How is it that you can play with sex and sexual sin? You say, Nick, I've never had sex. I've never, you know, gone beyond holding hands with a boy or girl. But maybe it's the TV. Maybe it's just starting there. And every day you're watching TV and it's junk. It's talking about sex and people are walking around in their underwear. You're just watching it. And what the Bible says is you're literally sitting there and allowing coals to be thrown on your lap. And eventually you're going to die. And it's going to build and lead to death. Guys, I love you. The only reason I would be here today is just to tell you that God loves you. And that one of the biggest struggles and traps that young people are falling into today is that I can do it. I can mess with it. And I'm so thankful that Kevin's going to be doing a series on staying pure. Because so many young people, maybe not even at your age yet. And so I understand some of you might not even be struggling with this right now. But it's going to happen very soon for you. And I want you to be prepared. Because I see so many high schoolers messing up and falling into sin and struggling with their walk because of this issue that they never guarded at an early age. You know, my dad, most of my life growing up, we didn't have a TV in the house. In my house, we couldn't watch or rent a movie unless it was PG or lower. And even if a cartoon talked about sex outside of a marriage, it got turned off. We walked out of so many movies, and I hated my dad for it. I like that movie. I like that TV show. I was in the plot, man. And I didn't get it. And now I thank Dad. Thanks, Dad. Because you did what the Bible said to do. And it's helped me. I see so many other people sleeping around, ruining their lives. Girls that aren't married, pregnant. Christian girls that are married, not pregnant, and then are pregnant without a husband. And vice versa. And guys, I don't want that for you. I want you to be blessed and fulfill God's plan for your life. Did you know that 22 million days of school are lost every year by people your age because they're sick? 22 million sick days in our nation a year by students. And you know what they say? It's the largest cause of kids being sick and being out of school. Listen, it's germs that they get in school. So you're walking around school, you're getting germs. Usually when you get sick and you don't go to school, it's because you're at school and you got some sickness and some germs, and now you can't go to school because there's germs there and you've got germs, right? Somehow that had to have made sense. But they just recently did a survey. You know what they're doing in classrooms now in schools in America? I don't know if your school has this yet, but they're putting hand sanitizers in the classroom, little dispensers with hand sanitizer. And they take breaks. The teacher has initiated breaks throughout the classes and says, okay, class, everyone go get hand sanitizer. So they line up, just like you know you do at the drinking fountain, right? They all go line up, dip, 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 wash the hands. And they do this multiple times a day. In those schools, in those classrooms, the rate of kids missing school for sickness drops half. So instead of 22 million days being missed, it's only now 11 million. And they're trying to put this into play in schools. And here's the point. It's illustration to if we as Christians, I believe if men, women, young people today would say, I am no longer going to live in this polluted world and let the world get me all germy and dirty and pollute me with its thoughts on sex, but I'm going to constantly instead go to the washing of the Word of God. And I'm going to take God's Word and I'm going to pour it into my heart. I'm going to obey it and adhere to it. And then I guarantee so many more young people would be staying pure today if they just heeded. It's the verse I shared at the beginning, Psalm 119, that says, how can a young man keep himself pure? It's really simple. Listen to God. So Lord, I pray, empower these young people. God, give them the power, even passion for purity in their lives. Lord, sometimes I feel gross just being in our world, listening to songs on the radio, watching TV, or going to the movies. Listening, going to the mall and seeing how young people are interacting with each other. So sexual, so improper. So God, I pray that these young people would adhere to your word. And Lord, I pray even tonight that you would do a unique work. Right now as we close, Holy Spirit, touch hearts. Convict of sin. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do we have time for a song?